Hello friends, this is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF, your hometown radio station right there in Madison and North Florida. And we pray this has become your radio station too, you who are listening as WMAF streams by computer on the World Wide Web, anywhere in the United States, anywhere in the world. We thank you for coming to this radio station and to hear this broadcast today. Amen. And if you have downloaded this particular edition of Let's Talk About Jesus from our website, we pray that it'll be a special blessing. Thank you for coming. We invite you to come back again. There will be prayerfully many more broadcasts on great subjects that will cause us to know God better. And if we don't know the Lord, to come to know Him in a salvation experience whereby He will come to live in your heart and forgive your sin and change your life and seal you with the Holy Spirit for eternity. Praise God. Amen. We're so glad that you're with us today. If you would like to follow this ministry, the Holy Church of God Incorporated right here in Tampa, Florida, where this broadcast originates. I have been the senior pastor of the Holy Church of God for 38 years. And there are many, many sermons, subjects that I believe would be of great interest and blessing to you as we use the Bible as the basis for all of our preaching and teaching, and we pray that you will be blessed if you decide to come and download any of the materials that you find on our website. Just type in THCOG. That stands for The Holy Church of God. We're incorporated. We're part of a fellowship, international fellowship, known as Independent Assemblies of God International, and we're so glad to be in good standing since 1974. Praise the Lord. So we have a ministry that has a history, and we pray that we can continue to bless His name and spread His fame, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ and our great God that has given His Son for us. Amen. We want to be about our Father's business today, and so any of the materials on that website that can bless you, you are free and welcome and invited to download to an MP3 player, iPod. As I said, if you want to follow this ministry's outreach on Twitter or Facebook, there will be opportunities at our homepage to do that. And so we just welcome you once again to this broadcast. We're talking about a great subject today. John's Gospel, chapter 10, the last part of verse 3 said, "He calleth His own sheep by name." That's very significant. "And leadeth them out." We're not just part of a herd today called Christians. We are individually, personally, intimately cared for by our great and gracious God. Jesus identified Himself as a good shepherd and the great shepherd of the sheep in John's Gospel, chapter 10. And a good shepherd, as we've taught in previous editions on this subject, didn't just count the sheep and know the number of sheep. He knew each one by a name that He had given those sheep. He ate with them, He slept with them, He went out with them, He came back with them. And you can see this in the way the Lord has committed Himself to His children. He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. I will never," and it's in the emphatic in the Greek, it would read, "I will never, no, never leave you nor forsake you." In fact, Christ taught that the hireling, someone just hired to watch the sheep that has no personal interest in them other than making money from a job, the hireling fleeth when the wolf comes. He's not going to put his life and limb in jeopardy when a wolf comes to steal one of the sheep kill it and destroy it. Oh, friend, but He said the good shepherd is different. The good shepherd is committed to the flock and to every individual sheep. There's no one expendable. There's no one not worth his death and his shed blood to redeem. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Praise God. And so we have looked at this wonderful concept of a shepherd and sheep to understand our God's watch care over every one of us. I want you to understand clearly today that if you're not a Christian, God knows you intimately and personally. He knows everything you've ever done. He knows every sin we've ever committed. And the glory of the gospel is that He loved us enough to give His only Son that we might be saved. And Christ loved us enough to go to the cross and to lay down His life for the sheep. Praise God. He knows my name, so I have no reason to fear. And we've been reading from the Shepherd's Psalm in the Old Covenant as God identified Himself to ancient Israel through David, the Shepherd King. Amen. As a God who is present with His people. In fact, the Bible said that He is a very present help in the time of trouble, the time of any need. And because He knows our name, because He cares for us, we have no reason to fear. David said, yea, in Psalm 23:4, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff do comfort me. Thy rod and Thy staff do comfort me. Last week we talked about the shepherd's rod. Today we want to talk about the shepherd's staff. The staff was the symbol of the shepherd's constant care. After the flock was led out of the sheepfold, the shepherd's staff was used as a means of guidance. The shepherd would lift his staff and point, and by means of the pointing staff, the sheep knew the path of safety to get to the greenest pasture and the best water. A sheep keeps its head close to the ground because it has poor eyesight. It cannot see very far ahead. If it can see the shepherd's staff lifted and silhouetted against the sky, it knows the direction in which to go. If we will follow the guidance of our living God, we will never fall over a precipice to death or destruction. He will never fail to guide us, and we will never fall into the pits of evil, for He leads us only in the paths of righteousness that lead to the right destination. You know, the New Testament says that the sons of God are not driven. They are not driven like goats have to be driven. That's what separates sheep from goats. Goats have to be driven. They are not very good at following. But sheep that love and confident their shepherd are very good at following. So the New Testament says that the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Ah, friend of mine, it's so good to know that God Himself has a plan for our individual lives, and He will point out the path that we should take to arrive at that destination. And it will always be the right path. That's why it's called the path of righteousness. Praise God. Amen. His rod and His staff is such a comfort to the sheep. And it's such a comfort to me, because the staff was also used as a means of rescuing a fallen sheep. Sheep would fall into a pit or slide down a bank and be utterly helpless to escape. All of us, at some point in our life, will face such times. We can rejoice to know that in that time, our Lord will come and use the staff of His Word, the staff of a Christian friend, the staff of His Holy Spirit, or some other means to rescue us that's represented by His staff. The staff was crooked at the top. He could grab a sheep and pull it back when it was about to fall, or He could pick it up from a ledge upon which it had fallen. The rod and staff comfort us. His discipline is because of His great love. His deliverance is because of His great love. His diligence is because of His great love. God knows you by name. He cares for you intimately and personally. Number one, I want to talk about His discipline for just a moment. You know, people are, that word is not a word that connotates warm feelings, but it is to me. I am so glad that I've got a God that loves me enough to jerk me back when I'm about to fall off of a cliff, to allow something in my life that's representative of His staff, His watch care over His sheep. I don't want someone to let me go my own way when my own way is the wrong way. I want to walk in the path of righteousness. You know, the Bible said sometimes He uses His word. You know, David said, His word is unto me a lamp unto my feet. It is a light unto my pathway. I can choose the right path because I can see it clearly. I can discern it. I can discriminate it from all the other ways that are available to me. You know, we live in a world of darkness, and we need the light, the illumination of God's Word to choose the right path. Reason being, because there is a way, the Scripture teaches, that seems to be right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of destruction. God has seen the end from the beginning. He knows when we're on the wrong path. And as I've said many times concerning repentance before, God allows for U-turns. Hallelujah. Amen. If you discover that you're on the wrong path because God convicts you or God puts some kind of barrier, some staff experience where God yanks you back, praise God, to make you stop and think about the road that you're on. Listen, if you're on the road to destruction today, and someone is praying for you, and someone is, because we're praying that even these broadcasts can become a staff whereby God reaches out to save you and to make you one of His very own. I want to tell you today, amen, God's discipline and God's conviction is our friend, not our foe. It is to keep us in the safety of the shepherd's watch care, the safety of the fold. You know, the New Testament said to us as Christians that every son, every child of God is chastened by Him. When we're wrong, we're corrected. Sometimes it's through a circumstance in our life, and it's always a painful thing to be chastened. But the Bible said when we're chastened of the Lord, not to misread it or misunderstand it. Don't faint. In fact, it says, when thou art chastened of Him. Why? Because it's not for our hurt, our harm. It's not because He's mad at us, frustrated with us. It's because He loves us. That's why His staff is such a comfort. I know that God cares enough about me to intervene when He sees me on the wrong path, to yank me back when He sees I'm about to fall into a pit. Thank God for His watch care that includes His discipline. Hallelujah. Not just His rescue after I have fallen, but His staff that calls me back close to Him. Amen. When I'm straying from Him, so He does, I don't have to fall and hit that ledge and break those bones. Oh, God is so good today. So don't faint, the Scripture said. Don't draw back. Don't be disheartened when thou art chastened of Him, because He chastens every son that He loves and scourges every one that He receiveth. Why? Because when we become part of His flock, He becomes our Heavenly Father. He becomes our Shepherd King. We become the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand, the psalmist said. Praise God. What a wonderful place to be, shepherded by a Shepherd King who is willing to lay down his life to save you and to save me. So make no mistake about it. If something has caused us pain and heartbreak to get us back on the right path, it isn't God trying to harm us. It's God reaching out in love to help us and to save us from ourselves, our sin, and Satan, our great enemy. Hallelujah. I do not enjoy, you know, the Bible said that. It said we might have was to come clean. God knows our heart. Amen. No chastening for the present seems joyous, but rather grievous. When we're going through it, it's not a pleasant thing, but it works for us, the peaceable fruit of holiness. It brings us back into that place where we can have close fellowship with God, where we are in close proximity to Him, and He is in proximity to us. Praise God, where we walk together. And He leads us beside still water, makes us to lay down in green pasture. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thy rod and thy staff comforts us because His discipline is a reflection of His great love and His watch care over us. God loves you just like you are. Amen. And He receives you just like you are. But He loves you too much to leave you that way. If you've got habits that lead you from Him, expect discipline. Something's going to give. Something's going to happen. But it's not because He's angry and wanting to punish you. It's because He loves you and He wants to save you. Praise God. And He wants to keep you in the safety and the security of the fold. Let me tell you something that may not seem good at first, but it works to our good in the long run. And God is working toward the long term, not the short term convenience of our life, but the long term safety, security, and blessing of our life. Some sheep were so headstrong, so rebellious in their own character that they wouldn't follow the shepherd. They would stray off, put themselves in jeopardy every time they did. Every time they couldn't see the rod and staff of the shepherd, they were in a circumstance where they could choose the wrong path and walk right into a trap laid by a predator, against which they have absolutely no defense. Their defense is the shepherd. That's why His rod and staff was such a comfort to the sheep. Praise God. And we've got to understand how this works to appreciate it, appropriate it, receive it, and not reject it in our life. If something bad has happened to bring you back to God, don't look at it as bad anymore. Look at it as something that turned your life around and saved you from destruction. When a sheep was like that, many times it would get out of the fold at night. It would slip under the perimeters of that guarded area that the sheep would sleep in at night. It would get under the fence. It would jump over the wall. And that's what Jesus was talking about when He said, "Lo, you that labor and are heavy laden, come unto Me. Take My yoke upon you." When I first heard that, I thought of two oxen yoked together, how with Christ and us, we can pull this great load of responsibility and purpose as a Christian. No. It's not half you and half Jesus. If there is, there's an awfully weak link in that. And I'll just let you guess who it is. It's not Christ. Amen. Paul said, "It's no longer I that live." He doesn't see a double yoke here. Amen. It's Christ that liveth in me. It's not part me and part Jesus. It's all Jesus. Not that we're sufficient as of anything of ourself, for our sufficiency is of the Lord. No, this was a yoke that was placed upon one of those sheep, so when he tried to get through the fence, that yoke would stop him. Picture a bow, like a bow and arrow, just two bows tied together and then held apart and around a sheep's neck that's a rebellious sheep. He can't get through the fence because the yoke stops him. Jesus says, "Take My yoke upon you and learn about Me, for I am meek and lowly in spirit. He said, I'm following my Father in an absolute commitment to do His will. I have a spirit of meekness. I'm able to be led every day, every second, by my Father's will and purpose, by His word. You know, Jesus said, the works that I do, they're not my own. I'm not arbitrarily doing what I choose, but what I see my Father do. Hallelujah. What He reveals unto me beforehand, that's what I pursue, and that's what I do. The words that I speak, He said, they're not my words at all, but what I hear my Father say. Do you understand what it means now to take His yoke, to make that kind of commitment and devotion to our God and our Savior, that we can hear and heed His voice, that we are quick to obey, and that we're not walking in rebellion, but it's our nature, our flesh is to rebel. He said, take my yoke. Take my yoke. You know what that yoke? That yoke was clearly revealed in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus says, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not what I will, but what You will be done. Praise God. Hallelujah. That yoke of commitment, that yoke of devotion, kept Him from going His own way and becoming disobedient to the heavenly calling. You know, Paul said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly calling. And then he made another statement indicating the yoke of devotion, for he said that kept him so safe and secure and so sensitive to God's will. He said, the love of Christ constraineth me, literally compels me to serve Him. Not a compulsion born out of being driven and beaten into subjection. No, this is a love born out of devotion. Praise God. So if something has happened in terms of God's correction or chastening, it's not to beat you into subjection. It's to bring you to a place of devotion. Amen. Now let me try to explain how that works with sheep. There were sheep that even the yoke didn't keep them from running away. They wouldn't take the yoke. They would somehow get it off of themselves, get through the fence, be out there in harm's way. And the shepherd in love, listen to this, in love, he would go and he would quickly break the front leg of that sheep. There was pain and there was pressure, but immediately, and he didn't do it because he's mad at it. He did it because he said, I will lose it. And that sheep will lose its life if it keeps getting out from under my watch care. And he would bind it up and put the splint on it. He knew it would heal with time. But in the meantime, that full-grown sheep couldn't get to the pasture. It couldn't walk to the pasture land. It couldn't walk back. And so the shepherd would go and pick up that sheep, put it over his shoulders, and carry it to pasture, lay it where it could eat and drink, and then pack it all the way back on his shoulders. In the process, that sheep became extremely dependent upon that shepherd and extremely devoted to that shepherd. Amen. The very shepherd that had broken the leg is now bearing the load and the burden while that sheep healed. And that sheep and that shepherd, day in and day out, were interacting with one another. The shepherd in love for his sheep, the sheep in dependence upon his shepherd, that began to grow into a devotion to his shepherd king. Praise God. And when that sheep's foot healed, friend of mine, amen, when that shepherd got up and pointed that staff, that was the first sheep in line to follow him. Great devotion is solicited when discipline is given, and solicited by love. Praise God. He chastens every son that he loves, not that he's angry with, frustrated with, impatient with. No, that he's absolutely committed to our good. Amen and amen. It's not pleasant, but it works for us something so powerful and so wonderful. Maybe you're going through something that God permitted to happen for the wonderful purpose of drawing you close to himself, where you are so extraordinarily well cared for and kept. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm so glad that his rod and his staff comfort us. His discipline is because of his great love. You know what he said to a church that he said is just so sickening to him, but he's still committed in love to them? The church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, the last of the seven churches of Asia that John was told to take pen and write to, Jesus said, "As many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Praise God. Amen. Friend of mine, this was a letter written. It was the Word of God sometimes. Sometimes the Word of God is used to purify, to prune, to purge. Every branch that bears fruit, he purges it. All those dead limbs that are sapping the sap and the nutrients from the good limbs, he cuts off. But he doesn't do it to hurt that plant, but to help it become more fruitful. We serve a good God. Make no mistake about it. He loves you today. And his discipline is an expression and a confirmation of that love. I'm going to be real plain with you, like the scriptures tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says, if you be without chastisement, you are bastards and not sons. That's the terminology of the scripture. You can't claim God is your father and not expect his discipline born out of his watch care and his love. You can't have it both ways. You can't just have his blessing without his discipline. And that's why I never, before I became a minister, after I became a Christian, I didn't look for a church where somebody petted me, soothed me, told me I was great, greatest thing since Cracker Jacks every time I come in the door. I looked for a church where someone would speak the truth in love. Amen. And many times the Word of God hit me direct, and I found myself in an altar of repentance. But it was never to harm me, but to challenge me, to change me, to keep me where God could keep me in safety. Praise God. Our marriage before I came to Jesus was headed for the rocks. Sin was beginning to take its toll upon our marriage. You know, my wife and I are getting ready to celebrate 49 years of marriage, and we were still in love with Jesus and still in love with one another. Amen. And I'm so excited about telling people, amen, that when God comes in and he wants to put his finger on something in your life and you feel that conviction or that circumstance arises that you can't get around it, you just got to go to God and check your heart and life out. I want you to know that he has something good in mind for you. There's a place of safety and security when we can say with David, with understanding, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Praise the Lord. Well, our time is gone. Seemed like we just got started. But we come back next week, will you? And let's talk about Jesus. He loves you so much today. He cares so much about you today. And today is the day of salvation, the scripture said. Every day is a new opportunity to make eternity heaven. Make eternity a place of wonder and bliss and eternal blessing instead of a place of banishment and punishment. Ah, today, friend, if you don't know Jesus, maybe a circumstance has happened. Maybe something painful has occurred. And maybe you're considering your life and your pathway. Would you please open your heart today? Say, "Jesus Christ, I don't want to rebel against you. I'm going to come to you. I repent of my sin. Cleanse me, forgive me, make me yours." Christian, today, right now, whatever is happening in your life, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Come home to Him. Get close to Him. Receive His Word and let Him keep you. Come back next week. Let's talk about Jesus.